Amen. Tell me, who's a born-again Christian here tonight? Can I see your hands? All right. So, when you are born again, Philippians 3 verse 20 says, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which you will also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." We are citizens of heaven. We are no longer of this earth. And because we are citizens of heaven, we have to look towards heaven. Have you ever seen somebody immigrating to Canada? All they can speak about is Canada. Every second word that comes out of their mouth is Canada, because that's what their heart is. That's what they're longing to go to. We're longing to go to heaven, and we need to look towards heaven. And that's why I thought, let's look at eschatology, the last days, last times. All right. For 2 Timothy 4 verse 7 says to us, "I have fought the fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith." There's a prize. What is our prize? Do you know what your prize is? Do you know what's going to happen in the end times? And tonight we're going to study a little bit and look a little bit into it. And when we look at the end times, we start at the beginning. And we see that the world is divided up into dispensations. Dispensation is a time period. It's time period and a judgment. That's how the world from the beginning was. And the first one we see is the eternity past. That eight that's upside down. Eternity past. And there was that judgment. And the judgment fell on Lucifer. And we see in Isaiah 14, verse 13 to 14, the five sins Lucifer committed, the five I wills. The I will. Verse 13 says, For you have said, that is now Lucifer, in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt, the second one, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. The third one, I will also sit on the mount of congregation, on the farther side of the north. The fourth one, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. And the last one, and the most serious one, I will be like the Most High God. And God says, because you've said that in your heart, you didn't even speak it out, you only said it in your heart, I will cast you down to the lowest part of the pit of hell. That's where I will cast you down, God says. I will make your bed, a bed of worms in hell. So hell was created for Lucifer. Lucifer, beautiful name, bright morning star. No longer has that name. His name is now Satan. All right. He's no longer the nice, burning, bright morning star. He's called Satan now. And we see that the second dispensation was the dispensation of innocence, time period of innocence. And the judgment fell on Adam and Eve. They were cast out of the Garden of Eden. The third one is the dispensation of awareness of sin. There's the years that it's the duration of that dispensation. And then we see the flood of Noah. And then the next one is human rule, this dispensation of human rule, Tower of Babel. And then the dispensation of promise, the 10 plagues was the judgment. And then the dispensation of law, or you know it as the Old Testament. And the judgment fell on Jesus Christ. And because the judgment fell on Jesus Christ and he died for the sins of man. If you look, I forgot to tell you more clearly. The top line is heaven, or third heaven as it's known. Middle line, the second line, is earth. The third line is hell. And the last line is the bosom of Abraham. Because Jesus Christ did not die in the Old Testament, nobody could go to heaven. Their sins was covered by the blood of animals. was not forgiven. It was only covered. And when Jesus died, after the dispensation of the law, he went down into hell. He took the captives free and set the captives free. Who were the captives? The captives were the Old Testament righteous people who lived according to the laws of Moses, whose sin was covered by the blood of animals, and they did not go to hell. If you want to go and study it, read Luke 16. And he took those people and he took them into heaven. So the bosom of Abraham is empty. That's why it stops there. It doesn't go on. It's empty. The abyss, the bottomless pit between hell and the bosom of Abraham. Bosom of Abraham is empty. Bottomless pit is reserved for revelation. And then hell, Sheol, Gehenna, Valley of Gehenna, it's the same place, different names for hell, is going to stop, going to freeze over. If you ever heard the expression, hell until hell freezes over, that's why I used it. Hell is stopped. It's a temporary place. It's not the final area, but we're coming there. Ephesians 4 verse 8 says, therefore he said, when he ascended on high, he led the captives and gave them gifts to men. Now this, he ascended, does it mean that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is also the one who ascended far above the heavens that he might fill all things. That is Jesus Christ. He went into hell. He took the captives, set them free. Bosom of Abraham is empty. Those people are now in heaven. All right. So we see that crucifixion, the judgment fell on Jesus Christ. We are now in the dispensation of the church. It's also called the dispensation of grace. And it's also called the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. That's the dispensation that we are living in at the moment. Now it gets interesting, because now we're going to look at the future. As Pastor Keith said this morning, there's nothing that is outstanding for the trumpet to sound. The next thing that's going to happen to this earth is the trumpet is going to sound, and the captive, and we as the church are going to be raptured. We as the church believe in the pre-tribulation rapture. Some people believe that the church has to go through half of the tribulation and then be raptured. Other people believe that the church has to go through the whole tribulation and then be raptured. But we as the church believe in a pre-tribulation, and it's scriptural because 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 9 says, for God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. What is the tribulation? Tribulation, and especially the great tribulation, is the wrath of God. And we as the church, his children, born-again children, are not appointed to wrath. So we are going to be taken away from this earth before the tribulation and the great tribulation. We look at Revelation, and we see that Revelation is written in order, chronological order. First, it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. Then it's the revelation of the church. Chapter 6, verse 2 says, and I look, behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it had a bow to conquer and was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. That is the Antichrist. So in Revelation 6 verse 2, the Antichrist appears on the scene. And after Revelation 6 verse 2, you never read of the church again, because the church is gone. It's in heaven. You understand? So just a second scripture to back up that as soon as the Antichrist appears on the scene, church is gone. Why is the Antichrist not coming? Why is he not here yet? Because there's a restrainer. 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 7, for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. Who is the restrainer that restrains the Antichrist from coming onto the scene? Holy Spirit. Church, same thing. Where does the Holy Spirit live? Lives in us. If we are taken away, the Holy Spirit is taken away. Born again children. So the rapture will take place. As soon as the rapture takes place, the restrainer is gone. And the Antichrist can appear on the scene. But there has to be a falling... After the restrainer is gone, the rapture, we find in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13 to 18. I try, because it's a timeline, I try to put everything in order. You understand? Are you still following me? Looks like if you've lost. All right. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13 to 18 says, "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest your sorrow also as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus Christ rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore comfort one another with these words." Don't worry about those who died, because they will be caught up with us, in a blink, in a split second, they will be first. The graves will give up the dead first. And then we will be caught up into heaven. Jesus will only come to the clouds. Many of us as Christians, we say that's the second coming. Technically, it's not the second coming. Because Jesus only comes to the clouds. He doesn't come to the earth. We will be caught up to the clouds. All right. It's not wrong to say it's the second coming. We all say that. But technically, if you want to be technical, it's not. Because Jesus is only coming to the clouds. And as we, this first 2 meters, as high as you can jump, you will change and you will receive your glorified bodies. And the graves will open and they will give their the dead will receive their glorified bodies. All right. That is what we are waiting for. That is the next major thing that's going to happen. All right. After that, the 70th week of Daniel appears. That is the judgment. 70th week of Daniel is 7 years long. 3.5 years and 3.5 years. 3.5 years of tribulation and 3.5 years of great tribulation. All right, to explain that more for you, because it's only a line on there, but because it's a judgment, we have to go to our next slide. All right, what is happening in those 7 years? The church is going to be raptured. In heaven, we're going to have the marriage supper of the Lamb. And we're going to stand before God, before the Bema Chair judgment. The Bema Chair judgment is for the righteous, and we will receive our crowns. What is going to happen on this earth? I'm not going to spend many preachers spend a lot of time on it, because the whole of Revelation speaks about it, but it doesn't affect us, except when you plan to be left behind. Then it affects you. On earth, the first 3.5, it's going to be peace, and the Antichrist is going to make an alliance alliance with everyone. Amen. He's going to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem, because he's going to sit there and declare him as God. Second 3.5 years is the great tribulation. First of all, we see the seven seals that's going to be poured out on this earth. The seven seals is the wrath of Jesus Christ, or the wrath of the Lamb. It's going to be thrown. The seven seals is, the first one is the white horse. It's going to be peace. Already spoke about that. Second one is the red horse, war. Third one is the black horse, destruction. Fourth one is the pale horse, death. Fifth seal is the martyrs. The sixth seal is... let me just put on my glasses. Earth. And the seventh seal is the stars are going to fall. If the stars fall, looks like if the stars fall, means the earth is shaking, because the stars can't fall. The earth shakes, and it looks as if the stars fall. Earthquakes. All right. And out of the seven seals, the seven trumpets come. Seven trumpets is the wrath of God. It's on the earth, on the sea, on the rivers, on the air, the locusts or the demons that comes to the earth, and the Euphrates. And then the seventh one is the heavens open, and it looks like victory, because the Ark of the Covenant is seen in heaven, but it's the end is not then. And then the last seven judgment that falls on the earth is the bowl judgment. Angels are going to dip their bowls in the wrath of God, and the bowls are going to be thrown out onto this earth. And again, it's on the earth, same as in the trumpets. It's on the sea, same as in the trumpets. The rivers, same as in the trumpets. It's the air, again. And then it's going to be thrown out onto the beasts of the king of the beasts, and on the river Euphrates, and that all leads up to Armageddon. All right. That is what's going to happen on this earth. So on this earth, we see first 3.5 years, it's the peace and alliance. And they're going to declare the Antichrist as king, and they're going to worship him. And he's the savior of the world, because it's one money system, one religion, one everything. And then the next 3.5 years, his true colors comes out, because Satan has been thrown down onto this earth. Revelation 12, verses 3 and 12 says, and Satan has been cast out of heaven onto this earth to pour his wrath out onto the people. But you will say to me, but Satan has been cast out of heaven a long time ago in the flood of Lucifer, what I've showed you first. He's been thrown out of heaven. Yes, but man has given him access back to heaven. If you read Job, you will see at the appointed time, he can go into heaven and accuse the brethren. And Jesus said, God says here in Revelation, no more. People are in heaven, no more accusing of men. I cast you down onto the earth. And his wrath is going to be thrown out onto this earth. So if you are left behind, you're going to see the wrath of the Lamb. You're going to see the wrath of God, that's the trumpets and the bowls. And you're going to see the wrath of Jesus, of Satan, because Satan cannot touch the people in heaven anymore, but there are going to be people on this earth that will come to faith, because their eyes will open and they will see. But Revelation is true, and we are left behind. The Bible actually says countless souls will still go into heaven through their own blood, martyrs' death. And Satan will throw his wrath, because he knows his time is short, and he's going to do everything and anything in his power against those people who are left behind, who has not received the mark of the beast. But that is enough of earth. We are not there, so it doesn't affect us. All right. Doesn't affect us. We are in heaven. Revelation 19 verse 7 says to us, let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, those fine linen that we've got, that we are clothed by, the righteousness of God, clean and bright. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. And he has said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. That's where we are going to be. We are going to be in heaven with the marriage supper of the Lamb. Amen. And we are going to receive our crowns according to our works. You can never, ever work to get yourself in heaven. But because you are righteous, because you are saved, because you are born again, you will do righteous works. Your works are not to save you. Your works is for you to do because you love the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why you do your work. Amen. And because we get those, because we work for God on this earth, we will receive our crowns. First crown is the imperishable crown. 1 Corinthians 9 verse 5. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we an imperishable crown. That is the first crown. The second crown. Crown of life, Revelation 2 verse 10. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. But be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. The third crown is the crown of glory. The fourth crown is the crown of righteousness. And the fifth crown is the crown of rejoicing. But there's not going to be any jealousy if I don't receive any crowns. And my sister here receives five. I'm not going to be jealous because we're going to throw those crowns in any case before the feet of Jesus Christ. Amen. But we are going to be rewarded. That is the Bema Chair judgment. That is the judgment for the saints in heaven. That is what we are going to do in the 7 years of tribulation and great tribulation. All right. After the tribulation and the great tribulation, we see the second coming. Zechariah 14 verse 5. Then you shall flee through my mountain valley, for the mountain valley shall reach to Azal. Yes, you shall flee, and you shall flee from the earthquakes in the day of Uzziah, king of Judah. Thus the Lord, my God, will come, and all the saints with you. So the second coming is Jesus comes to this earth, and he comes back to this earth just as he came, just as he left 2,000 years ago, Zechariah 14 verse 4. And in that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall be split in two, from the east to the west, making a very large valley. Half of the mountain shall move towards the north, and half of it towards the south. Remember, when Jesus was crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he rode through Jerusalem on a donkey. He came in at the Golden Gate, the gate facing the Olive Mount. That gate has been shut because of the prophecy. No one shall enter that gate again until the Lord returns. When he returns, he comes to the mountain, Olives, and that mountain will tore in two. That gate will open up again, and God will walk in through that gate. Now, if you've gone to Jerusalem and you've been there, you will find that that valley, and especially the northern part up to the Golden Gate, is a graveyard. And you pay a lot of money to be buried there. A lot of money. And what they believe is, because Jesus never ever entered a graveyard, that is going to keep him out of the city. This is now only tradition and folklore. And that's why that whole valley, and especially in front of the Golden Gate, it's only graves. Cannot get there. All right. But those graves will not keep Jesus out. He's coming again. Second coming will come, and he will stand on the Mount of Olives. That valley will split in two, and he will walk through that gate again. And he will defeat all the armies that comes against Israel. Remember, the beast from the north, from the east, from the south, from the west, every country will come and will make war against Israel. And Jesus, with us, will defeat them. Revelation 16, verse 16. And they granted them together, and they gathered them together to the place called in Hebrew Armageddon. That is the valley of Jezreel. That is where the battle of Armageddon will take place. Amen. That is the end of the 70th week of Daniel. You know why it's called the 70th week of Daniel? I'll teach you one day. All right. That's preaching on its own. After Armageddon, after this earth has been destroyed, all the armies have been destroyed, a remnant's going to be left over. I personally believe it's mostly going to be Israel. Remember, there's going to be earthquakes, there's going to be wars, there's going to be pollution, nuclear bombs, I believe. So the whole earth's going to be wiped out. But there's going to be a remnant left over. And they're going to enter into the millennium, the 1,000 years of freedom. That is the time where Jesus Christ will rule with a fist of iron. All right. Satan is going to be bound, and he's going to be thrown into the bottomless pit, and he's going to be locked up there for 1,000 years. The Antichrist and the false prophet is going to be thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone 1,000 years before anybody else. They're going to be there first, and then the 1,000 years of peace will arrive, where we will rule with Christ. After the 1,000 years of peace, the white throne judgment takes place. White throne judgment are for the unrighteous, those who are in hell. Remember, if you die now, if you fall and you land like this on this earth, you stand up like this in hell or in heaven. Only two places. Many people, good people, work their whole life for the Lord, open their eyes in hell. They're in hell at the moment. They don't know why they are there. They're cursing and they're shouting and they're saying, "But God, in your name I cast out demons. In your name I did this and I did that. How on earth can I land up in hell?" They will be told, and they will have their time before God, where every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, in the white throne judgment, and their whole life will play off before them, and they will know exactly why they are in hell. Revelation 20, verse 21, verse 11 to 15. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away. And they were found, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. And the books were opened, and another book were opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works. So just as the righteous are judged according to their works, the dead are also judged according to their works. By the things which were written in the books, the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades, or hell, delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged each according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. Hell will stand before God in the judgment of the white throne judgment. They're going to know why they're in hell. They're not going to go back to hell, but they're going to be thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Why? What is the difference then between hell and the lake of fire and brimstone? 2 Peter 2 verse 4 gives us a little glimpse. Pastor Keith read this scripture this morning. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down into hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment. If you look at your Bible, you will find in brackets, Tartarus. It is an area of hell. Hell has different areas. If you've ever read the books that were written by people that went to hell, you'll find out there's different areas. Bible also tells us if you do anything to a little child, you're going to be punished more than other people in hell. Tartarus is a place where the fallen angels, the demons, who sinned, who took for themselves wives, and slept with them from the earth, and the giants were created. God took them away from this earth and threw them into an area in hell, which is called Tartarus. So there's different areas in hell. Demons walks amongst the pits of hell. People are in the pits. Demons can come to this earth and go back to hell. Satan can come back to this earth, go back to hell. Satan can even go into heaven at this stage and accuse us, the brethren there. But once they are thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, everybody floats in a lake of molten lava. Everybody is the same. Punishment is the same. No more difference. Cannot get out. Satan and his demons are floating there just like every person who is not born again. That is the difference between hell and the second death. And the second death you only receive after the white throne judgment. People of hell are going to go there. And then hell is empty. Amen. We always say, if you want to be resurrected, if you want to be made alive, you need to serve God. Let's look at John 5, verse 29. And come forth those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. So even the dead will receive a resurrected body, but for everlasting condemnation. Wow. All right. That is the difference between hell. So we all know now what is awaiting in the end times. What is waiting for us? It's a very, very scary thought if you are not ready. So the question tonight is, are we ready? If the trumpet sounds tonight, I know it's a hellfire and brimstone message, but it's God's word. It's God's word. If you are not ready, are you going to go to the lake of fire and brimstone, which is the second death? Or are you going to go to heaven and enjoy the marriage supper of the Lamb? There's just one scripture I want to read to you. Let me just find it quickly. Revelation 19, verse 7, 11, and 14. This is what waits us. Let's close on a positive, not on the negative. On a positive a note. This is what waits us. Revelation 19, 7 says to us, "Let us be glad and rejoice." I've already read this one. "And give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready." Verse 11 says, "Now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on it was called Faithful and Truth. And in righteousness he judged and made war. And his eyes were like flames of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one except himself knew except himself. And he was clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses." This is what awaits us as born-again Christians. We will follow Jesus on white horses, and we will rule and reign with him 1,000 years on this earth. So you think the 70 years that you are average on this earth is a long time. It's nothing. Think the years that you serve the Lord here. It's anything. It's nothing. There's more serving the Lord ahead of us than we can ever think and dream of. Amen. So the question tonight is, are you sure that you are ready to meet him? Are you sure that when the trumpet sounds, you will be caught up into heaven? Just one thing that came to mind quickly. Are you sure that you are ready to meet him? John, who wrote the book of Revelation, John, also called the beloved disciple of Jesus Christ, John, who placed his head on Jesus' shoulder, who leaned and laid on Jesus' shoulder, the beloved disciple, the closest, you can say, disciple of Jesus. When he was on the island of Patmos and he was caught up into heaven, third heaven, when he received the book of Revelation, he fell at Jesus' feet as dead. He could not stand in the presence of Jesus. When he saw Jesus in all his righteousness as the King of Kings in heaven. And Jesus came to him and he took him by hand and says, "It is I, it is me, it is the same Jesus that where you laid your head on. It's me, stand up, don't lie on the ground as a dead person." Now if John, who knew Jesus for 3 years face to face, fell down before God, before Jesus, as dead, you think we will just walk into heaven and say, "Hey, here am I." No. You will fall on your face before God, because then you will see the glory, the whole glory of Jesus Christ. And Jesus will say to you also, as he said to John, "It's me, it's the one who you've been serving all your life. Don't be afraid of me. Stand up." Amen. So the question is, are you ready tonight? If you walk out of this church, are you sure that you are ready to meet Him? If you're not sure, come to the front. You want to recommit your life to God. And you say to God, I don't want to be left behind. I don't want to go through the wrath of the Lamb, the wrath of God, and the wrath of Satan. I don't want to go and spend eternity in the lake of fire and brimstone. I want to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Come forward. Amen.